the idea of John the Baptist and the concept of the joy that was a part of John the Baptist's heart as Jesus was yet coming. The ideas are found in the book of Matthew in chapter 3, also in the book of John chapter 1 and following, and also in the book of Luke. And Luke in chapter 3. And I want to go to the book of Luke this morning in reference to John and draw the lessons for the joy that John had. It is noted in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 40, that Mary came to visit, as she was told by the angel Gabriel of the coming of the Christ and the way that this would come about. It says in verse 39, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The reason here, the passage is in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 43, and sets up for us an idea that is sure true, that before John was delivered, that he was a very happy individual. He was one who leaped in the womb. He was thrilled with the knowledge that this, the Christ, was coming. John will describe to us that this occurred, and as we read here in Luke 3 and John 1, that there was about 6 months difference between the time of John and the Christ in his conception. And the fact of the matter was that John was going to be born first, and John was going to become the messenger appearing before the Lord. He was going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. There are several things about this in Luke chapter 1 that we need to really appreciate in our time. And though there are people that may have chosen abortion as a way of life for themselves, they can be forgiven, they can have the joy of the Lord to forgive them. There's a big difficulty, I understand, scientifically and emotionally, with the women who have had an abortion to be done. And as a result of getting away from a child that has been conceived and deciding that that will not be worth the birth and all, that there is a real mental issue about it. I'm not going into that particular part today. That's, again, a part of science and medical studies. And people tell us it's not just as easy as they first thought. And first thought, the idea is about that. But the idea that we read here in this Luke chapter 1 is in reference to 6 months in the womb, John is aware of what's going on in reference to the words being said, the joy being expressed, not only in his mother, but also the words being expressed by a great greeting time of Mary herself. When we talk about this, we're talking about a living baby. We're talking about a living person. We're talking about a human being. We're talking about someone who is there for an intended purpose of God. And he became very aware as he came that he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. As we turn into chapter 3 of the book of Luke, we find John's work going on. And we read in reference to this matter, let's begin not the whole part of it. Let's read in verse number 3. It came to pass that he came into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, that's in Luke chapter 3, verse 4, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, What shall we do then? And he answered and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, What shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered and said unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor, his fold, and will gather the wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And many other things of his exhortations he preached unto the people. I want you to notice that in this third chapter of the book of Luke, that not only was John a happy child, a happy person in the womb, and that the knowledge of the coming of the Savior and the knowledge of the Savior's mother and then his own mother and the joy that he had in the mission that there's in front of him. But secondly, he was happy in the message of repentance that he taught. He was happy to tell the people that they could be more at peace with one another. Notice that he was influential not only those who were descendants of Abraham, and he got them straight in a hurry, telling them that, hey, don't take great pride in the fact that we're children of Abraham. We don't have to listen to God about anything else. We don't have to do anything else right and good. We don't have to do what the prophet said do. He said, listen, God is able to take stones and make children to himself. He's able to do that creative power. You're nothing special because of the fact that you just have that name. You would be special because you would obey the words of the prophets. You'd listen to what Abraham said, and you'd follow the Savior to come. You'd become special that way. But you're not, it's just leaning on this word with children of Abraham is not the thing for you to do. And as a result, these people had the message of hope. And notice that the people came out to him. And the publicans there in verse 12, and the soldiers in verse 14, and the various people came for expectations in verse 15. There was joy in the message of repentance. And to you and me today, there's joy in the message of turning away from evil, turning away from a wrong thing in our lives. When we find ourselves working at it, and along with conversations that are held, and along with the prayers that are offered, we can overcome bad words that we say. We're going to overcome bad jokes and stories that are told. We can overcome evil and wrongdoing that we hear and that we see around us. And you know, when we look back over that way of life, we thank the Lord that we've been able to overcome that. We thank the Lord for the information that came to us, for the prayers that were offered for us. And we thank the Lord for the help of the counsel that was given to us. We'll go back to the passage in Proverbs 17 in verse 22 where it says, A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. When people find themselves looking at repentance in the right way, then I don't have to continue down this long road of terribleness. I don't have to go down this long road of resistance. I don't have to go down this road of evil in which I meet the judgment of God against me. I can be happy that I've repented. I can be thrilled that I've changed. Notice the problems and difficulties that these people brought to John, saying, What shall we do? They dealt with monies. They dealt with excesses. They dealt with worldliness. They dealt with overcoming this, that, or the other. And he's telling them, you can overcome this. You don't have to go this route. You don't have to make these demands. And as a result of that, there were people who could be happy themselves within repentance. And it tells us that in the summation in verse 15, that they were in expectation. All men mused in their hearts and said, you know, this message is a message that's like what we had always heard would be the Messiah's message. This is a message like the Lord would present to us. And the idea that they had in mind was this may be the Christ. And John quickly was able to point out to them, No, I'm not the Christ. There comes one after me that I'm not worthy to pick up his sandals. I'm not worthy to loosen the latchets of his sandals. His shoes, it's called here in King James. The idea that he is mightier than I. The Christ is the Savior. He's the Son of God. I'm the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah, you remember one that had a problem with Gabriel as Gabriel announced to him about his son that would come. And that you'll call that son John. You'll name that son John. He looked within the heart of Zechariah, and this back in Luke chapter 1. And he saw a heart of unbelief. Zechariah was a priest, a person. He was a person who was supposed to read the prophets and all, and he did, but he couldn't believe this message he was being told in the view that he was so old himself. And his age would prevent the conception of a child. The angel announced this to him and further told him that from this day until this event I've told you takes place, you will neither speak words and you will not hear thoughts. You will be deaf and dumb. You will be there, and this will be the case. When that day comes that these things are fulfilled, then you'll get back your faculties. You'll get back your abilities. Strange as it was, as we read in the birth of John, that Elizabeth was in a conversation, and there was criticism being offered there, right and left, about what name would give to the child that was born. And, of course, when they came to the daddy suddenly could hear and he could understand. And he said, without abandonment, his name is John. And they were all amazed that, well, he couldn't, before that time, speak. But now he can. And no doubt he rehearsed to them what this angel Gabriel had said to him. And that this was the sign to convince his heart that he should believe. And it would be a case that he would see that this son was named John, because that angel told him that would be his name, and that's the name that they'd have called him. We talk about happiness when somebody repents, even though they're made to repent. In this instance, Zechariah was just forced because he couldn't do things that he used to be able to do. And the angel told him this would be the result. And now then he saw the fulfillment of it. And what was he but happy because he had now seen the change? Will it take that for your life and mine? Will it take something? Will it take a terrible accident and you're on a hospital bed, you're looking up at the ceiling only to think about God? Get away from a wickedness of life. Get away from a lack of repentance in life. Get away from resisting God. What's it going to take? Can it take this word and this message? These people hearing the message came out to be baptized of John. Wonderful it is that they did. But that's sixth chapter, Luke 7, chapter 29 and 30. And all the people that heard him and the publican justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of John. Luke chapter 7, verses 29 and 30. What do we find here? Well, we find the tragic situation going on. We find these that were in the very presence of the prophet of God. The teaching of the Lord was being done. They could prepare for the coming of the Lord. But what did it take for them? More than they were willing to give. They wouldn't go and be baptized of John. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves. What a blessing we have when we talk about John and the happy message of repentance.